SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews, taking you inside the sport of kings. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Good long period. They weren't all that terrific in the new building, but tremendous. Let's talk about the old building on Street Road in Bensalem. Got to spend a good part of the day with Johnny and Gail, but with Tony Black and Barry Pearl. Barry doing an unbelievable job with the jockeys and jeans. Unbelievable. He works 24/7 trying to help stricken riders, and it was good to see Barry, and of course always great to hang with Tony. Tony was working, the room and working all of parks where he is. He's basically he's the mayor, it seems. That's probably the best description. So that was literally the first person we get to see coming to parks on Saturday. The day of racing, it had everything. it had it all. It had I'm not going to call the disqualification, the decision by the stewards. I don't think it is controversial. I see every time there's a high profile incident like this, you see controversial. It wasn't controversial. No. And in a lot of ways, you have to applaud what the Pennsylvania stewards, what they did. Because even by Florent Giroux's own discussion, post-race discussion, Midnight Bisou was going to go by Monomoy Girl on the inside or on the outside. And you know what? I would give Giroux high marks for doing everything he could, knowing that he didn't have the horse he needed at that point. And I think he even knew on the backstretch approaching the turn, she was not comfortable. She wasn't moving with her. Not that she didn't run a great race and so forth, but you could see it was a little bit, and that you get that at Philadelphia, because that track, first of all, that track was as heavy and deep and tiring as you're gonna get, and that certainly could contribute. And of course, the inside, always, you know, if you want to talk controversial, you could talk about, you know, the notoriously difficult inside at Philly. It didn't seem that the track was as outside flow favoring as usual. A lot of people gravitated toward that path and toward that avenue, but it seemed like the track was a little bit more even than usual. Tony actually said that in the morning, when he was on horses in the morning, that all paths were pretty even, were pretty good, that he thought the track was going to play, from that standpoint, pretty fair. But we'll talk to Steve Asmussen at the bottom of the hour. Asmussen had a fabulous weekend, over and above what went on with Midnight Bisou being put up to win the Cotillion. And disappointing as it had to be for the Monomoy Girl team, this was the right call, 100%. And I don't know where people have this idea that there has to be contact for there to be a disqualification. Oh, there was no contact. They can't take that horse down. There was no contact. No contact means nothing. In fact, sometimes there's plenty of contact, and it's fine. But you don't need contact to warrant a disqualification. It was one thing the first time when Monomoy Girl gravitated down inside once Giroux knew what was happening and gravitated. You did that one time, okay, you'll get away with that. If from that point, where was that? Just past the eighth pole? From that point, if Monomoy Girl finishes first after just gravitating and trying to basically take away the inside for Mike Smith, or to force Mike Smith if he wants to go down to, completely to the rail and try to rally, that's fine. Smith then tries to go to the outside. That no. You were clear. You went to try to, make it difficult for a foe that's coming at you inside. That's fine. But then to shift outside and to then drive a horse four paths wide. No, that doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. But I, good for Giroux to maybe say, all right, I'm going to keep this horse from, I'll do everything I can to keep her from passing me, and I'll put it in the hands of the stewards. And you know what? There was enough people out there that felt, and in fact, we'll have this discussion with Johnny, because Johnny was surprised that he said, I'm surprised they did it. And then there's a lot of people who said they were surprised that they did it for the same reason, and were very pleased and said, you know what? That, you know, the spirit of the competition, that has to weigh out. So, and then, people trying to compare it to other jurisdictions, that's immaterial. Grade ones, they never do. It's a race like any other race, and that's the way stewards are supposed to adjudicate. I wouldn't have been surprised if they had left Monomoy Girl up. But the other part of this is you can always tell when a horse is coming down. I mean, almost when it goes that long, you can tell. The one thing I will say that was a little quizzical. Why was there not an inquiry light? The objection went up, and Mike Smith had to actually. I guess he didn't get where there was no outrider to get the early. For him to make the early objection. So it wasn't until he got back that he was able to object. And I don't know, maybe, instead of Tony and I talked about this, last week or the week before, the quick official, but maybe they were waiting, kind of knowing that there was going to be an objection. But that's the one part of this equation that was a little, where's the inquiry light? Come on. But I have no... And it's not one of those. It isn't even a DQ that Winning Connections should be, averting their eyes over. It was the right call. Period. Midnight Bizou was going to blow by either inside or outside. Period. Monomoy Girl ran great. They both got 101 buyers. Both of the grade ones were fast races over, deep tiring surfaces. I said that this had it all. This hour and a half had everything, including one of the most obvious and fascinating savage attempts that a lot of people have seen. It was very funny. I mean, let's be honest. That Gallant Bob, Firenze Fire, plugging away and turning back foes left and right. And here comes Where She Told Me to Go, Anthony Pecoraro's rather emergent sprinter. That horse had a big look, particularly if Thoroughgraph users were all over Where She Told Me to Go. The horse himself, Jeremy Rose piloting, the horse thought I'm going right on by. And he, and the horse had to be feeling good about himself until Firenze Fire dug in. And after being headed, it, where she told me to go, got in front. And then when Firenze Fire got his head back in front, where she told me to go, that didn't sit well. He goes to take a bite out of Firenze Fire. To me, it's the greatest example of just how competitive the horses are. You know, they're pack animals, and there's he's a horse that clearly, you know, feels like he's supposed to be in front and doesn't like that there's another alpha horse contending. And you're not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here. So there's been, I put up a couple of series. The picture, Nikki Sherman, who was, in fact, speaking of Johnny, Kids to the Cup. Nikki Sherman was one of the Kids to the Cup. She works for the PTHA and for Turning for Home, the wonderful retirement placement service in Philadelphia that does a tremendous job. We've talked to Tony about it, Chuck Simon and I, the Kicking and Screaming that we had. Kicking was placed by Turning for Home. They do a super job. And Nikki, full-time for PTHA and then works for Turning for Home. Her picture of the Savage, there'll always be the Tremont. There will always be Bob Coghlan's Eclipse-winning Tremont photo from 1980, but not great communicator. Great, for God's sakes! Great prospector, and Golden Derby. That's the gold standard of Savage pictures. Kind of in the black and white, and it's got a certain atmosphere. But Nikki Sherman took a phenomenal picture of it, just great. And I circulated that yesterday. We'll talk to Jason Service, Firenze Fire. They've got some tough decisions to make. Ron Lombardi, what a game horse he is. Trimming all the way back to three quarters to six furlongs. Unbelievable. And then there's Midnight Bisou to talk about. We'll talk about the Derby after the break and everything else that went on. New York with a big slate of stakes. The fabulous day at Laurel and Steve Asmussen. Steve Asmussen had it all. Switzerland wins the DeFrancis Dash. Union Strike yesterday in the Gallant Bloom. He'll be our first guest at the bottom of the hour. More after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
On. Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house. This was some land that he worked by hand. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. It was a love that I was proud of.
We're back at the races. About 20 in, we'll talk to Steve Asmussen at the bottom of the hour, as I mentioned, between Midnight Bisou and Union Strike rallying up the rail yesterday in the Gallant Bloom. And since he received Union Strike from Mick Ruiz, it has steadily fine-tuned her back to graded stake win. And we talked about her after Saratoga during Saratoga, when it just looked like she was back moving confidently and in the right direction. And sure enough, gets her return to graded stake winning notoriety yesterday in the Gallant Bloom. And Switzerland, who blitzed the DeFrancis. So Steve Asmussen with a big sweep of a grade one, a grade two, and a grade three at three different venues over the weekend. So looking forward to that. Haven't talked to Steve since the summer. And let's get to the Pennsylvania Derby. There was an interesting scenario. Bob Baffert later, obviously, to talk about McKinsey's comeback win. And McKinsey, in light of Collected's return, which was dull, and certainly his attempt in the Pennsylvania Derby Champion Stake, the West Coast, was, you could tell. I mean, he was on the backstretch. He looked like a chicken in a pot. And it basically just slogged around and got beat by six or seven off the board at, what, 2-5? Interestingly, Baffert chipped in not in attendance. Jimmy Barnes handled everything for the Baffert team, but he was worried that if the track was going to be very heavy and the way it was, that Collected would struggle over it. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But that he wasn't worried that it would affect McKinsey. He thought McKinsey was coming in well, and that the surface wasn't going to be an issue for him, and it wasn't. He was confidently handled by Mike Smith, and certainly, you know, late on the backstretch, and you know, just the way he was poised to move, it seemed, at any time. And when he moved, just kind of took over, and there were some horses that were rallying and trying different things. Hofberg was a little too far back, even with the blinkers, and it just really, there wasn't going to be any, you know, serious attempt for Hofberg in terms of reaching the leaders. Axelrod, the best of the ralliers under Joe Bravo, and having the race over that surface certainly had to help. And a good second in there for Slam Dunk and Michael McCarthy. You know, in some ways, the maybe the best story in the coming out of this, besides McKenzie coming back and a 107 buyer, and you knew the race was going to be fast, you know, based on that chart and, you know, where horses like Hofburg, Core Beliefs, and King Zachary, and Trigger Warning, where they were and where they finished. I mean, McKenzie, a couple of lengths clear of Axelrod, Axelrod 7 lengths clear of Trigger Warning and Hofburg. Trigger Warning, what an accomplishment for Mike Roan. Talked about him and this horse during the summer as he was gaining, you know, nice stripes on the shoulder in races like the Ohio Derby and the Indiana Derby. The Travers water's a little too deep. Ran terrific, and it was interesting after they passed the wire and went looking to see who was coming back, and then when they played the replay, you know, seconds afterward, and they, you know, I turned to Johnny, I said, did Trigger Warning hold third? And the answer was yes, he did, at 82-1. And congratulations to Mike Roan, whose personal story is heartening and certainly winning, and a grade one placement for a $6,000 originally going back a Keeneland September purchase for $6,000. Trigger Warning now grade one placed, as well as grade two and grade three placed. Really a nice, I thought that was the nice underpinning to McKenzie's comeback. You know, there were any number of disappointments here. And the way the race unfolded was, there was a couple of things that happened that were odd. What exactly was the plan with Bravazo? Why was Bravazo so close? That hadn't been his MO. I picked him. I thought that he would, you know, sit mid pack, fifth, sixth, and come with his usual run. And the whole idea was that he was poised to be, you know, in the three path on the back stretch and, you know, then kick wider and come home. They abandoned that and tried to attend the pace, and it did not work. King Zachary never really rallied. Mr. Freeze was in good position on the back stretch and was punchless. And Stilled Regard really never got involved at all at 5-1. Went off, I think, as the fourth choice. One of the biggest stories here probably is 2-1 on McKenzie. That was $6 on McKenzie. Awfully attractive. And Axelrod second, 10-1. And then, as we mentioned, 82-1 on Trigger Warning. Hofburg went off as the second choice, 5-2. And it just, it seems like he had, you know, some traffic that, you know, made him have to kick out even wider under Arad Ortiz. And by the time it seemed like he was engaging, it was kind of too late. Meanwhile, for the Street Sense colt, picks up and not just picks up where he quote unquote left off McKenzie, but his fascinating record: 4 wins in 5 starts in the DQ. You know, placed first, of course, in the Los Al Futurity and taken down in the San Felipe. So he was probably watching the Monomoy Girl Midnight Pisu antics and saying, I know what goes on there. So McKenzie, tremendous return. And we'll talk to Baffert about him later. You know, the day did have a little of everything. How about an Alan Goldberg horse winning at First Asking? That was started the second half of the racing. And Absentee, that was a nice pop for those that that headed in that direction. That got things going. One of the funny stories I had forgotten during the week after the PPs had come out. Aaron Yagoda, who you hear me mention plenty, and Aaron has got that EJ Stable is one of his groups that buys and pin hooks or races, and they had named a Will Take Charge colt after Dr. Alday, and the horse's name was Dr. Alday. And somebody tweeted to me at about the same time that Aaron and I were kind of laughing back and forth. They scratched. He got a little fever, he was a little listless, they said, and so they didn't want to have a career debut for him under those circumstances, so they scratched. So on Equibase, when I went to get the park scratches and make any final adjustments in the selections, I see, you know, Dr. Alday scratched, and then half an hour later, you know, they put the reason up. And so it says, Dr. Alday scratched, reason changed to veterinarian. Well, of course it's a vet scratch. He's Dr. Alday. That was a lot of people caught up on that and got a big, it was very funny. It really, smile of the weekend. Fast and Accurate won the Alphabet Soup, the Pennsylvania bred stake. And of course, Fast and Accurate, you go back to the Spiral last year. And Kentucky Derby inclusion, he had won a stake at Calder on the grass last November and was coming out of the Lemat at Presque Isle and wins himself another offbeat stake. And we'll also mention before going to the break, I mentioned Collected running really a dullish fourth coming out of the Pegasus was when he was last seen. And meanwhile, George Navarro sent out Aztec Sense, who is really streaking at this point. This was a claim out of a low-level, non-winners of three lifetime, and this five-year-old gelding has been grinding out and slowly moving up and very steadily now running lots of 90s buyers. And Navarro is just remarkable when it comes to this. And this horse has really had now, and it's been exactly a year, really, that he's had him and has run him maybe a dozen times. And this was a seventh straight win. And this is not a sprinter either. I mean, usually Navarro better with sprinters when it comes to reclaimed claimers. This is a two-turn horse. And he was impressive. It looked here like at a couple of points, I thought Zanotti might get to him, and Name Changer tried to rally, but then all of a sudden, Aztec Sense kind of dropped down under Jaramillo and won, four or five lengths. So that was the day at Parks. They had a huge crowd again. This is always a fun day. They turn out all over the place, and they put on a nice show. They bend over backwards and gave away hats. Everybody was wearing their eagle-colored Pennsylvania Derby hats and Cotillion hat. They honor both of the grade ones the big day at Parks. And it was a nice day. We'll talk about it more with Johnny after a couple of trainer conversations. Steve Asmussen going to join us first, and Jason Service too. In this next half hour, stay with us. Lots going on. Buff Bradley later. What a wonderful story for Buff and Carl Hurst. I had to gush on Twitter on Saturday when word came that Buff and Carl had won at Churchill. They had won the Dogwood with Divine Queen at a price, Calvin Burrell. This story coming, you know, that win coming 24, 36 hours after the player was delivered from the clinic in Louisiana, LSU, delivered back to Kentucky to live out his days on Buff's farm with Brass Hat. They'll be paddock pals. And Buff and Carl Hurst basically said to the veterinary team, spare no expense, do whatever you can to save the player after, you know, being stricken at Fairgrounds. And they did an unbelievable job. Buff will tell you about it and what went into it. It was real. This was really touch and go. And as soon as he gets home and the story spreads, hours later, Carl Hurst and Buff Bradley win. I had to invoke Racing God's reference. I couldn't help it. I know. We're going to also visit with Javier Contreras from West Virginia, a Mid-Atlantic Standard. Guy's been winning at Mid-Atlantic racetracks for years, 20-plus years. His first graded stake win, the Charlestown Oaks, on Saturday night. Late-night powwow, literally. Just a wonderful. Javier Contreras is on the West Virginia Breeders Board and has done a nice job very quietly for years, and a first graded stake win. Looking forward to talking to Javier as well. Back after this, Steve Asmussen next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the Races, coming up on 20 to the top of the hour, and Steve Asmussen joins us after a fantastic weekend, and it would have been fantastic if only with the Cotillion win, but then fold in Switzerland winning the De France's Dash, and then yesterday, Union Strike, putting it all back together, slowly being rebuilt in the Asmussen barn, and wins the Gallant Bloom. Steve, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Great weekend.
Let's talk about the big story, obviously. And I was at Parks, and you know, watching everything unfold and live, and give us your take of what you saw and what your expectations were once Mike put up the objection.
You know, obviously, we're just very proud to have Midnight Basu, and you know, what a special filly she is. But she ran another competitive race, and expect nothing less from her.
You could see this almost in slow motion on the turn, and you really could kind of sense that she was going to, you know, that there was going to be a confrontation when she came up behind, and Mike looked to go inside here. Monomoy Girl drifts down. You can understand that first attempt, but then when Mike shifts out and Giroux just starts to herd her two, three, four paths. Your thoughts as you watch things live, and then watching the feed from the stewards.
Well, for me, you know, with Midnight Basu, I just was very happy with how she was traveling down the backside, moved up into position very willingly, and, you know, obviously rooted on her towards the wire. As far as disqualifications come and stuff, you know, unfortunate that it was decided that way. Nothing but respect for Monomy Girl and what she's accomplished this year. But the Cotillion's over, and both of the fillies are now stabled at Churchill in preparation for the distaff, and that's where our focus needs to be.
For your experience with her now, this was the fourth race that you've sent Midnight Basu out since she came from the West Coast to you. And the distances, 2 mile and a 16th wins, and the mile and the eighth Oaks, and the mile and a quarter Alabama. What's your sense, Steve? I mean, is this mile and a 16th really her ideal distance?
I feel really good at her about her at a mile and an eighth at Churchill. The way that she had trained at Churchill Downs off of the Oaks, we got her in wonderful shape from Bill Spahr, and how she trained at Churchill I thought was exceptional. And the race that she ran off of training at Churchill in the Mother Goose was visually impressive, and I think that we need to get back to that. Feel really, like I said, couldn't feel any better about who she is mentally and physically, and look forward to the challenge of the distaff at Churchill.
Well, Jeff Bloom, got to spend some time with him and talk to him after the race, just tickled as can be. And Midnight Basu and Monomoy Girl will mix it up again with the rest of the filly and mare division. So we'll look toward that. And while I've got Jeff Bloom mentioned, Steve, he talked about doing some yearling shopping. Some thoughts about what went on at Keeneland. You were obviously, you know, on the lookout as well. Some thoughts about the sale.
Well, I thought that there were some exceptional individuals. The prices were extremely stout when the physical matched the pedigree, and it is great to see that racing is still so healthy on the top end, and people are still paying for the dream.
Well, and then you were putting it into practice and getting the fruits of those efforts that start with the breeding and then into the sales end and then into the training and then out on the afternoons. Let's talk about what was going on down at Laurel. They had as wonderful a day at Laurel as they did in Philadelphia, culminating with the DeFrancis Dash and Switzerland, who's one of the fastest sprinters right now in training, Steve, obviously, and this was a nice snapback after the Vanderbilt.
It really was. Fairgo gave him a good trip, but when they threw up 22-4, you knew he had his chance on Saturday. So the race, obviously, we were very concerned about him drawing the one hole again, but the fractions were something he could handle easily, and I thought he was very impressive drawing away late.
Obviously, with only the Vanderbilt as the only blemish over the course of the year, what are your thoughts heading toward Breeders' Cup with him?
Well, I think it's a very comfortable situation for us this year with the being able to ship these horses directly to Churchill and to see how they're doing where the races are run, as opposed to putting in the variable of how are you doing and should you ship. But I think that this weekend's races put us in a very good position with several horses going into the Breeders' Cup, and feel very comfortable about the opportunity to be able to train at Churchill to make the final decisions on whether we run or not.
Well, and of course, stylistically, one of the pace setters that would line up. So we'll wait and see who else is headed in that direction. Some horses have got some decisions to make, actually, between running six or maybe running the one turn mile. We're going to talk to Jason Service next, actually, about Firenze Fire and how he and Ron Lombardi are feeling. Let's go to Filly and Mare Sprinters, and you've rebuilt the Union Strike, and you could see during the summer that she was moving back toward her two-year-old form. Talk about the win yesterday, the exciting rally up inside to win the Gallant Bloom.
Yeah, she Union Strike came into the barn a grade one winner from Mick Ruiz. She is an exceptional filly, and I think her ballerina was a solid run, but she definitely moved forward with the excellent trip that Jose Ortiz gave her yesterday.
Anything that you identify in terms of working with a horse like this, and actually uniquely, Steve, all three of these horses that we're discussing, you received from other very strong outfits, obviously. That's not the easiest assignment. I mean, I think most barns, especially the work you do with young horses, you build them up from when they ship in and you start their careers. It's really a credit to the barn to take horses and either maintain their form or advance their form while mid-career.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It doesn't happen without talent. And the three horses that we're talking about today off their graded stakes wins this weekend are exceptionally talented horses that we are very fortunate to be in charge of their care, which we take extremely seriously.
This race, 6.5 furlongs, and of course, thinking about Filly and Mare Sprint, seven, and she's made plenty of starts at 7/8. Just some thoughts about how she you know, how she adjusts. I mean, it almost feels like that she could be kind of an in-betweener when it comes to sprint distances.
Well, you see a scenario in which her powerful late run could be effective, but we are guessing on the racetrack on the day at this stage. She is a filly that I have not trained at Churchill yet, but I'm anxious to see how she goes towards it when she shipped in direct to us directly at Saratoga. I thought we got into a nice rhythm with her, felt that the Ballerina was a solid run, kind of against the grain of the day. With the pace scenario and the trip she got at Belmont yesterday, it was great to see her back in the winner's circle. But we are talking about a filly that had previously won a grade one, so the ability is there. We just need to have her happy and healthy and circumstances of the day suiting her.
You mentioned her coming to Saratoga, and she has been, like many outfits, stayed there after the meet, and now as these last East Coast preps, as we run through them, everybody, they shipping to Churchill as they get through with these races?
Yes. Scott Blasey, as you know, stayed with several horses after the end of Saratoga at Saratoga with these dates in mind. Had a very, you know, successful weekend doing so, but we are going to gather the troops up at Churchill and hopefully have a huge Breeders' Cup this year at our home, what we feel is our home track.
Absolutely. And on that front, coming up the next couple of weekends between Keeneland, or, well, Churchill first and Keeneland next, and, of course, here down at Belmont the next couple of weekends, give us a quick glance ahead to who's going where.
Well, we do have the Breeders' Fraternity at Keeneland and the TCA, the Thoroughbred Club of America, as well as a few other possibility of running in the Champagne, as well as a couple two-year-olds that may try one of the last two dirt or turf sprints for the new juvenile turf. But we are obviously very proud of what got accomplished this weekend, but realize how much more work we have to do.
Couple of names. She's a Julie. Where's she going to spinster?
Remington Oaks. Sunday.
Remington Oaks. Nice.
Thought that she ran a very tough race in the Alabama from the pace scenario and how she held on, and would like to reward her with the right spot off such a tough effort. And we're hoping that the Remington Oaks is the right spot for that.
Very nice. And how about, speaking of Oaks, then I guess we can shift the gears. Oklahoma Derby.
We feel we'll be strongly represented in the Oklahoma Derby with Combatant and Lionite, who have kept pretty good three-year-old company that feel they're doing really well physically, as well as the recent merger of Limation, the Super Derby winner.
Right.
Who, you know, in his best race to date. And I think with the three-year-olds, this time of year, to still have some that we feel are moving in the right direction and healthy, can be financially rewarding.
Speaking of the whole three-year-old picture, Tenfold, how about an update on him?
We did give him a break off of the Travers, a couple Triple Crown races will, you know, take its toll, but we did take a bit of a poll with him. Off of his Travers, and he is a horse that we are hoping to get back in the not too distant future for hopefully a run at the major older horse races next year.
Knowing, of course, that Gunrunner's success in the Pegasus, I mean, is that kind of a working goal for early next year?
Yes, he is a horse that I am hoping to take to Dubai, and as well, that caliber at the highest level. He's a horse that we always thought had a lot of talent, but always felt that time would benefit him.
Well, plenty to look forward to on all fronts, and that includes the big Oaks and Derby Day coming up at Remington. And is retirement fund running too? No.
There's a possibility of that. He had an excellent breeze this week, and we're anxious to see how he goes back to the racetrack.
Well, something tells me we'll be talking to you well ahead of getting to Churchill, Steve. Congratulations to everybody, all the between the owner side of things, Bloom, and of course the one person who was standing on both sides of the border, Sal Kumin, who would have been in the photo either way on Saturday when it came to the cotillion, and of course Mick Ruiz and the team there, and who am I missing? Woodford Racing on Switzerland. So a lot, you made a lot of people happy this weekend.
Yeah, they made us happy as well. You know, I'm very proud of the whole team and the job that they continue to do, and it was a wonderful weekend and great to be rewarded in such a way.
Absolutely, and a tremendous job by Steve Asmussen and his team. You mentioned Scott up here at Saratoga, and wherever you look, down to Remington, and meet a bunch of horses this week. A lot of maidens you're sending out this week.
It's that time, you know.
Exactly. Get those diplomas.
The fall ones you've waited for. Well, this is what we waited for, you know. Time to go.
And getting it done. Steve Asmussen, everybody. Steve, talk soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is an interesting point with Steve Asmussen, with this team. It is not easy. You get a horse that you're going to change everything. They're coming from another outfit, and you're talking about really good outfits that, you know what they're doing. And to maintain a horse and then even, you know, it try to get something more out. Not easy when they're at a high level to begin with. Switzerland, Union Strike, Midnight Bisou. Nice. Let's take a break. Come back. Jason Zervis has done everything right when it comes to Firenze Fire, and no matter what anybody thinks about the Derby try and so forth, this is a cool horse that has adjusted accordingly to each request and cutting all the way back to 6 furlongs. Had last run at 6 as a maiden. Or was that a maiden, or maybe in the same? Was that a maiden? I got to look it up again. Maybe the Sanford. I think he was his last 6 furlong run. So he was unperturbed, including by where she told me to go, trying to bite him. We're going to go back to Philadelphia, talk to Jason Zervis next. Johnny D to follow, Buff Bradley, Javier Contreras, Bob Baffert at the races. Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.